This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the windy, cold afternoon voice of your local announcer. Here to get the most out of what a deliciousness can be found in your food, what you have eaten at home, what you cook. And also, if you go out to eat in a restaurant or you're with some friends and they cooked up some stuff for you. And you are welcome to call us to talk about that or anything else on your mind having to do with food and restaurants and just anything that is delicious to you. We'd love to hear from you and to you also. And here we are at 260-6368. That's our telephone number. You can use that for anything, 260-6368. We are here to talk about food, though, and that's the main thing. We also do wine. We do a bunch of other things, and there it is. Mary Ann is not here today.
No, I am. I'm over in the studio.
You told me you weren't going to be here today.
Yes, that's right. I told you I wasn't going to be sitting next to you today, but that I would be in the studio downtown where I've had just the most depressing last 30 minutes. I don't know. Yes, I've been trying to I've been trying to get Clemson fans to come up and just chat about some of the food that they've had in town. But you would think that it was midnight or 2 a.m. and that we were in a dark alley rather than a sea of people next to an office building. I don't know what radio people are supposed to look like, but clearly I did not look like what they expected. So I have no people to talk to here besides you.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not so, so bad.
No, I just thought it would be fun to ask Clemson people if they've had any good food since they've been here. And yes, the answer was yes, but they didn't want to tell us about it.
Well, do you know that there was something that has turned up on three different occasions today, just today as I've been doing my little jobs of sending out interesting things to talk about? The hotel, the Pontchartrain Hotel over on St. Charles Avenue at Jackson. Is it Jackson? Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, it turns out that the family that owned that hotel were all from Clemson.
Oh, is that right? I can see that. Are they from South Carolina or they just went to Clemson?
They are lifelong Cornells. Was it Cornell or something?
I think it might have been Cornell, Tom.
That might be.
I think it might have been Cornell.
And it's the Pontchartrain Hotel, and it was the guy who managed it for a long time, Albert S. Schaffenberg, who was a good friend of mine, personal friend of mine. He used to run the hotel, and then his dad before that even more so.
Well, so let me at least give a report my own self of what I have observed down here. First of all, it's madness.
Madness.
Yes, it is. I thought maybe I was going to have trouble getting here because when I tried to get off the interstate, you're not able to get off where I normally get off, which is around the dome, which makes a lot of sense because the tailgate parties are everywhere. In every spare parking lot, there is a tailgate party going on. There's apparently a really big one at Walk-On/Vintage Rock Club/Copper Vine. And I don't know if it's... if you get into all three of them or whatever, but there's a huge complex of tailgating things going on there. But that whole area between Canal and Poydras and then from Poydras, like the whole Houdat Nation, it's even much more intense than it is for a Saints game. It is off the
huge.
Charts.
Well, off it the certainly charts. Sounds that way.
Yeah. And so I wound up thinking that because I had to detour and go to Canal and then come back off of, like, I didn't go to Canal fully. I went to Tulane Avenue, and then I had to come back on, I guess, Rampart, and then turn onto Poydras. But that whole area was a crawl because there were just so many people tailgating, mm-hmm. and the traffic was abysmal, of course. But then once you get past, if you're thinking of coming down here, and you should if you don't have anything better to do, it's madness. Did I mention that? Anyway, if you head toward the river on Poydras, the traffic is much better. The crowd mm-hmm. starts to thin out. But the closer you get to the dome, the more it just, wow, it is with people. It's just craziness. And so I'm going to go meet some friends of mine from out of town, not in the central madness area, a little bit further out. And but then I think I'm going to head back into the craziness just because mm-hmm. it's something
crazy.
To see. It's something to see.
Crazy, I think, is the word for it. Well, you know, yesterday, I was watching all of this, and I was astonished by the number of football games that were going on, even some that I've never heard of before.
Well, Tom, you're not exactly a football fan, so it doesn't take much to astonish you in that department.
Well, but there they were, and just chunking them out.
Well, that's because it's playoff time. So the NFL is having its playoffs, the NFC is having its playoffs, and, of course, the CFP, which is what this is now. But it is a party scene down here absolutely everywhere you look. And fortunately, the rain has stopped, at least for now, and that allows people a chance
overnight to
walk around mm-hmm. a little bit. But I'm even tempted to go into the quarter this evening. I don't know why.
Mm. Well, you could walk around and watch out for some of these people who are with their game, with their teams that they're hanging with. And one of them,
they're very obvious. The Clemson people are wearing orange, and there's very few of them, so they stick out. But everywhere you look is purple and gold.
I just needed a little more help with it. But there were some of these. I learned something I didn't know, and that is the LSU fight song. And it goes,
Tom, don't try to talk football. Don't embarrass yourself by trying to talk football.
Isn't that it? Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, that is it. But, you know, it's not like it's a little, you're a little late to the party. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to talk food, because that's what we do on this show. We talk food. And I am curious to see what sort of food is out and about all over the place. There are a lot of parties. There are a lot of buffets that are watch parties. Those are a set price, but I'm sure that there's just a lot of food out there for anyone who wants to grab it and go. And I'm going to discover a little bit of that as I head out after the show today.
Mm-hmm.
260-6368 is the number if you want to talk to us about food. That is kind of really all that is. I mean, the radio station is pretty shut down except for a very core group of people. It's Doug and me and the board ops.
What about me? Don't forget me.
Well, yeah, but you're not there. You're not here. So I'm talking about at the radio station right now. There is a skeletal crew. I'm glad that I made it in time before Tina was leaving, because the place is shut down. I mean, everything is shut down.
Hmm. The perfect place to do a radio show.
It's
hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's
hello.
It's pretty.
Hello.
It's,
where?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. So today is, let's see, what day is it today besides, the day? I want to mention if anyone has not had Carl's Fried Chicken, they're serving that all day. It's usually Monday evening, but they're serving
Carl's
that
Fried
all
Chicken.
Day. Yeah, you know Carl's Fried Chicken over in the Fountain Lounge. They're doing it all day today for the festivities.
Yeah. He's great. He's in the back of the kitchen at the Mondolion. No, excuse me, not the Mondolion. That's totally different.
Roosevelt. He's at the Roosevelt. Fountain
Hotel,
Lounge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. There's a buffet, a watch party at Dab's tonight. It's $25 a head. Beer and wine, $4. And drinks, $5. Central City Barbecue has a nice yard out there where you can sit. I'm sure there'll be a gigantic screen for a watch party. So there's a lot of fun still to be had on this playoff weekend here in the city of New Orleans. Bad weather last 2 days, so I'm sure people will be much more interested in being out and about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
it's coming
let's
and
see.
Going, though. That's the irritating side of it.
Wait, what?
Cold.
It's really
hot,
not cold outside.
Water,
that's the thing. It's a little bit disingenuous, the weather is, because you think it's cold, but it isn't
call
really when you go
me
out.
Disingenuous.
Yes.
Call me.
Tom, you have as your edible dictionary word today one of my favorite words to say.
What is it?
Hummus.
Oh, hummus. Who doesn't love hummus?
Well, I don't know if I like it as much as I like saying it.
Well, you know, you can always get your own, and if you ever want some, ask me, because I do some pretty mean.
You do a good hummus. You know who else has a good one, I think? And it's not a Greek or Mediterranean restaurant. It's a good old American place. I think Zia's hummus is one of the best out there.
And it's totally different from any other I've ever seen.
Well, he uses roasted garlic rather than a fresh garlic. And I really, really like that extra dimension of flavor. And then they jazzed it up and they put feta and tomatoes.
Now,
what else?
A bunch of
sun-dried tomatoes.
It's not straight down the middle. It is pretty original on both sides.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good. But lately, I've had some other interesting hummuses, and they're not, though, as exciting to me as the one at Zia, or frankly, the one that you do. I think that you do a good one. Do you know how long it took me to actually try hummus?
Years and years, huh?
Probably only tried it, I'm embarrassed to say this, about 10 years ago. Yeah.
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Well,
but I mean,
know,
to be fair, to be fair to me, it didn't really hit the scene in a big way until maybe 15 or 20 years ago. I mean, here in the United States, here in Louisiana, I don't know what else they were doing around the country, but you know, it's not one of those things. It's an ancient food, of course, but you would had to have been someplace else to try
it. Well, that's true. Can I give you I'll promise you a story on this subject.
Of course.
I went to a place, the name of which I've been trying to remember, and it was a Middle Eastern restaurant near the intersection of Clearview and the I-10. It was in one of those kind of like sockets over there. And I went in there, and I thought it was Greek food. It turns out it was Middle Eastern food, Lebanese food.
Oh, this is a really long time ago. I think I've heard this story. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I haven't thought about it in a long time. So, but anyhow, here we are and eating this stuff, and I see something that's made with a lot of garlic. I was sure getting that. And then there was the one with the eggplant in it.
Baba ganoush.
And I figured I was going to get that. And then the very last thing was something called hummus. And I just said it, and then the waiter said it, and I said, I don't like the sound of this. So I didn't get it. And then the next day, somebody said, boy, the hummus is great over there. I said, I didn't try it. He said, you're crazy. No, that's the number one thing you try. If you want to know what is happening in in Middle Eastern food, you're going for the hummus unless you're just,
a heathen.
A heathen. Could be. So ever since then, whenever I run into it, I always get it. If it looks like it's even remotely good. There's some hummus that it just sits there and does nothing.
Well, you know, it doesn't look like much. I mean, it really doesn't look all that appetizing.
It doesn't smile so much.
As a food item goes,
yeah,
it would be one of the last things that I would pull off of a buffet of something that is strictly foods I've never tried. It really would be. I mean, it's a nothing color. It's got a mushy texture. I mean, what's to love there? But you try it and it's really, really great. Let's take a break. We are talking about hummus and food in general and anything that you would like to talk about. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We are coming to you live from the W old
from two J-06. Separate places.
In two separate places. You know, what a thing. That got me real puzzled one day. How could this happen? But it's but there we are. And here we are talking about food, about restaurants, and also, you know what has not come in at all, and we almost always get around to talking about this? The food at the stadium. Is there really anything to eat? Or is that just a joke?
There is food to eat. It's not very good food.
That's what I've always seen.
Yeah, unless, of course, you're in a box. But I think it's best to eat before you go to the stadium. That's for sure. So Doug said something off of the air that he thought a great name for a restaurant would be Things You Haven't Tried.
Well, that would be a good thing in one sense. And in another way, it's not so good because people are very, very leery about trying something they've never had before.
Okay, then try this one. We have two restaurants, one next to each other. We have one called Good Stuff, and the upscale side of the operation would be called Great Stuff.
Well,
no,
yeah,
I'm
sure,
thinking
that's
I'm back on the things that you haven't tried, because depending on who you are, that could, if you had to craft a menu on things that people haven't tried, it depending on who you're appealing to, that list would be small or large. Like, you know, in the case of me, if you were going for me as a target market, you would have a lot more things on the menu than if you were going for you as a target market, for example.
Well, they won't buy as many books from me as they will of the stuff on the roads.
Yeah. Anyway, you were talking. So I guess we're not going to talk too much about the things that you haven't tried as a restaurant name. But I do think that's a great idea, Doug. I mean, no one's ever done it before because it would be hard to do. But it is a good idea. 260-6368. We were talking about hummus before. And who has a good one? Now it is really, really easy to find that on a menu.
What, hummus?
Hummus, yes.
Yeah, it's everywhere you go.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, when I first started seeing it, the kids were little, so it would have been the early 90s. And I was really not all that curious about it because it didn't look like something I would want to eat, you know. And then I think I finally just decided, you know what, it's going to be in my face every time I go somewhere. Let me just try it. And I loved it immediately. It is a great thing to eat.
Before you keep going, I want to prime the audience a little bit. I'll bet you there are quite a few people listening to us right now who love hummus and who have their own good recipe for it, because it's not hard to make. You have to pay attention to what you're doing, but not much of that. So can we? Can I ask the audience that? If you have a special way of making hummus, call me up and tell me what it is, no matter what you have been doing it with in a long time. What do you think? Can we go that? Can we do that?
Of course. But you know what?
Right.
I think hummus would fall into a category of things that I find kind of disgusting if you really think about it, but delicious. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of stuff that you would say that about. You know, well, I think it's kind of disgusting, but I really, really love it. You know, like if you look at tahini.
Yeah. Tahini.
In a jar. Mm-hmm. And then you take a spoon of tahini.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, so far, so good.
Honestly, is there anything really appealing about tahini? It's pasty looking. It's a nondescript color. It's the consistency of it is a little bit scary, I find. You know, it's really not appealing at all. Yet when you put it with garbanzo beans that are pureed and garlic and olive oil and lemon juice, mm-hmm. it's magic, you know?
It is.
But when you just spoon tahini out of a jar...
All by itself?
There's nothing appealing about it. I mean, at least in my view, you know?
Well... There's your solution to that one.
260-6368. That would be in a category of things that I find disgusting but also delicious. I don't know. I don't know how many things I would say that about. But anyway. Mm. Like, for example, deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs.
Yes. Do we have a caller, Doug?
Well, how would you know?
No.
All right. Who is? Okay. Doug gets driven crazy when I don't wear headsets. And they're going to get tangled in my mm-hmm. hair because I don't have a ponytail holder. All right. So who's on the phone?
Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Hi.
Alan, welcome to the food show. Come on in.
Thank you so much. I'm sitting in my car. It's lunchtime up here in Seattle. And it's a snowstorm.
Oh, no. Ooh. Really?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So we're lucky in this regard where it's only raining.
It's not really raining either here. Is
not
it raining
lot,
on the North
no.
Shore still, Tom?
A little bit. It's coming and going.
Okay. So, Alan, first of all,
yeah.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers indeed.
All right. Go ahead. Now you can proceed.
I'm surprised your sister hasn't mentioned anything. She doesn't say, oh, wow. Because as Southerners, it's a big deal. To see snow, and especially at this rate, it's so much.
We actually had this conversation last week, she and I. I asked if it was nice weather, and she said it was. And I said, well, you haven't gotten any snow. And she said, we don't usually get snow until after February.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll check with her today.
Well, anyway, yeah, that's true. It's usually later on. This is kind of unusual. I'm a little bit surprised that you find hummus disgusting, and not something like peanut butter. Because I'm thinking maybe it's a Western way of looking at foods. Is it because of?
Well, I am Western.
I know that's true. So am I. And here now, hummus. Oh my gosh, it's
ubiquitous.
It's everywhere. It is interesting how it's grown to be such a staple. And
I didn't say hummus. That I thought hummus was disgusting. I said I think tahini is disgusting.
Oh.
I said hummus was
the
gross.
Stuff in the jar, or the stuff in the jar.
Yeah. Right.
Well, tahini is sesame, isn't it? Sesame
yes, seeds? It's ground sesame ground. Seeds. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And why is that disgusting?
Well, but have you... Okay, so if you were to take a spoon and go to a jar of peanut butter...
Yes.
You would... I mean, I wouldn't. I'm just talking... I'm only speaking for me. I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you. So I'm saying that if I took a jar of peanut butter and I lifted it up... And it probably wouldn't, dribble down. But if you go to a jar of tahini and you did the same thing, there would be this beige oily beige dribbling substance.
Sounds good.
That's what I'm saying. It's I think it's gross. But when you mix it with lemon juice and garlic, and in the case of Zia, roasted garlic, which is really great, and lemon juice, you get, and olive oil, you get something really delicious. And it's not the same color, first of all. It's a different color. It's a more appealing color. But it's just, I don't know, I find it kind of intriguing that something that I find really yucky to look at can become so delicious.
Well, it's easily fixed. You just don't do it anymore.
Anyway, no, Alan, your point was?
Oh, I guess I thought you were saying that that you found hummus at one point before you tasted it and tried it, because it seems like
unappealing. I wouldn't say disgusting, just like, what is that? It's just sort of lays there, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I don't like chickpeas when they're sprinkled in salads so much.
Yeah.
Or just even as maybe a side.
Side dish. Do you like them fried when they're fried and presented to you?
Oh, as a snack, I've had fried chickpeas before, but no, I think my favorite way, in the best way, I'm going to say, is hummus. It's a hummus dish, and I have there's so many nice little spots around Greenwood here that as Tom was suggesting, folks call up and. How do you make yours? You know, what's your recipe? It's just so easy for me to stop on my way home and pick up a little, a little container of it made by experts who have been doing it for generations. and I have this thing, you know, you were talking about appliances on counters, I think about a week or so ago.
Yeah.
If everything I make, unless it's a crock pot, I do use a crock pot. I don't like to use food processors, blenders, anything that takes, to me, I call it major equipment. My wife, that's her thing.
Who says you have to?
Well, how do you make hummus then?
Yeah, that's
blended.
A good question. You pound it.
Well,
you walk on it.
In a food processor or blender. It can be done in a blender.
Yeah, of course. Yes, sure.
You know, you put the chickpeas.
Well, it's the same thing, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I now that you mention it, I'm sure that since it is probably an ancient food.
It is, sure.
There weren't any food processors.
Right.
So they must have used it. They must have beaten it with
a mortar and pestle, probably.
You know what? I bet.
That might be it. That might explain everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
no,
Alan, I have to ask you a question. I want you to be totally honest, okay?
Okay.
While you can walk to some little walk-up in Greenwood, which I would assume is sort of an ethnic community, I guess, okay, and find someone who really knows how to make it because they are coming from that country first generation, all right? If you were to eat that hummus, would you prefer it to one that you could get in fill-in-the-blank American restaurant making hummus?
You can't compare, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones that are made by the many of them are not even first generation. They're born in Egypt or born someplace in Morocco or some other place in North Africa.
This is why Mexican food is not what it could be, because if you don't have the locals, especially the ones that eat the stuff. Before you even get into the kitchen, that's where it's all going to be. But you take it away, it's like nobody even knows what it is, and that's going to.
I agree with you and disagree with you. But Alan, let me ask you to finish that thought. So you much prefer the one made by the guy who came over from Egypt?
Yes, in my case. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Like a block and a half away from my
house. Yeah. All right. You know, I had an interesting experience over the weekend.
Yeah.
We made you know what? We have to take a break. Because Doug's going to start. Doug, you're not actually glaring at me now, but do you want to keep going to 50 or we're going to keep going to 50? Okay. So when I was in L.A. last week, I bought this pasta that I talked about keeping me in security for 40 minutes. And I bought it for two reasons. One, because it was on sale and I'm a sucker for sales. But also because I wanted to kind of do a pasta.
What?
Pasta. I am convinced that American pasta and Italian pasta is fundamentally different.
Mm.
So we made carbonara Saturday night, and I ate a lot of it. I just will readily admit that I ate a lot of it. And should have awakened the next morning feeling really gross, like a carb hangover, I call it.
A carb hangover?
Carb hangover, yes.
Oh, that, now, that feels horrible, but in another way it sounds pretty
and
good.
And so I asked my daughter, who ate less of it, but still enough to have a carb hangover, how she felt the next day. And she said, you know, you're right. I actually don't feel as bad as I normally do. So I'm going to give, if I can get my niece who has gluten intolerance, if I can get her to be a guinea pig and eat this, I want to see if it causes a reaction in her because I suspect that it won't. And so what makes all of these things different is the ingredients that you are using. We eat, I say it over and over again, it's true, fake American food. We do. We eat fake American food. And I like fake American food because that's the way I was raised. So
Dr. Pepper, that's what we need in Marv. Real barber.
I think I would love to try the Egyptian guy's hummus in a taste test and try, you know, my own or Zia's or something and see how I felt about it. Because I bet that I would probably pick the American one because that's the kind of fake food that I like.
I see.
Well,
I see what you mean. Let me add, you know, it's interesting. You said you would ask your niece who's gluten-free maybe to try that particular pasta. And the difference is I think American food is more processed.
Yeah, it is. It's horribly processed. And it's not good. This is not a good thing. This is a bad thing. But that's what I'm used to. So my palate says, ah, this is right and that's not.
But there may be something.
That.
You know, there was a time I never heard, you know, when I waited tables all those years, nobody ever said, oh, excuse me, waiter, let me just let you know. I'm gluten-free. I can't eat
right,
gluten.
Yeah.
Never.
Yes.
You know, of course, I haven't waited tables in 15 years.
Yeah.
But I did for 25 and never. Now, I would get on occasion, you know, oh, I don't eat, you know, I'm a vegetarian.
You know, I'm really glad that went that way because when we first started hearing about just all the different ways where you can lose weight, and you just there's a long list about them. And people would say, "Do you have this intolerant issue?" And just one thing after another. And I say, "Yeah, you know, restaurants have all of that stuff. All you have to do is ask for it, and tell them you really want it, because they'll do it." There was a time when they didn't, but it's covered now. You don't have to worry about it. Just ask for it, and there it is.
This is true. This was true. But, I think it's something that the foods here, that over the years, and we all, you know, you've spoken about this before, how our grandparents would eat butter and, you know, real cheese, dairy products.
Exactly.
And I think
real garlic and sardine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have intolerances now, but Yeah, back to hummus. You know, have you ever tried store-bought hummus, like from the grocery?
No, no.
How do you say that?
Store-bought hummus.
Oh, store-bought. Now, for goodness sake, it's so easy to make. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for buying it done.
I agree. And it's not good. There's a company. It's called, am I going to get in trouble? It's an international company. Sabri. Sabri. Mm-hmm. They make four or five or maybe even more flavored hummuses.
Mm-hmm.
Red pepper, garlic, and I can't even swallow that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
after having it really made it, like Tom says, at home or in a restaurant or some people that know what they're doing, I can't buy a little container of hummus.
Yeah, sure. And why should you? Because it's really, it's not good for you. It's not, you know, it's like when I hear all the getting on the bandwagon about the plant-based stuff, it's like, instead of going back to less processed foods, we're accelerating and going to more processed foods. If you want plant-based foods, eat plants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make sure of that.
I mean,
yes.
Just eat plants.
Really? We'll look into the pot there and see what we can turn up.
Anyway.
Turn up. So
all
good.
Right,
that's
Alan.
Just what we needed.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Hunker down.
Yes.
Enjoy your snow.
Thanks. I forgot
there
to
it
say
is.
Happy New Year.
Now, you can say Happy New Year tomorrow. Today you have to say Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Go Tigers. In a few months, I can say Happy New Year.
There you go.
Right? That's how it works.
There you go. All right.
You are listening to The Food Show, and we're talking
about
food.
Take care, Alan.
And if you're hungry, stick with us, and we'll talk about it some more.
260-6368 is the number. We're talking about hummus. And it's only because in today's almanac, which is sort of our blueprint for the show, the edible dictionary word is hummus. And so I actually have a lot of thoughts about hummus. And so I threw it out there. But if you would like to talk about something else, we're certainly happy to talk about it. We didn't do a lot of eating out over the weekend. It was terrible weather. So we sort of stayed in and made the pasta that I mentioned. And it was good. And who doesn't love pasta? Although I learned last week that my grandson does not like pasta, which I am aghast at because I thought every kid loved pasta. But not necessarily. So we had pasta, and then I made a gumbo yesterday. I don't know, I was just in this cooking mood. So we made gumbo. I bought some boudin at Rouse's, and it's, to me, my favorite packaged boudin. It's Manda, which I am not a fan of their products, generally speaking. But didn't you like that boudin, Tom?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I've had better. You know, the stuff is absolutely at its peak when you're running around in Cajun country and one side and you run in and you get it. It's just, you can't top that. But it's pretty darn good the way they do it.
I mean, of course, it's better if you buy it someplace. Although I have to say, you asked me about Bergeron's boudin, which is a place on the North Shore, and I guess a couple of other locations around. And I was really underwhelmed by it. I didn't think it had a lot of flavor, which was so disappointing because it looked so good. But, you know, it's nice to think that you can go into what looks like your standard little boudin walk-up and get some boudin. And you can do that on the North Shore, although I was not crazy about it. But, for a packaged supermarket version of it, I thought it was really, really good. I do think that's my favorite, the Manda boudin. And it's now in a package 3 times bigger than it used to be. So you have to pay $9 for it. But it's like, I don't know, it's like what would amount to six long links. There's probably 12 or 14 of them. They're little short links now. And we used them as the rice for this gumbo because I discovered when I had a lot of boudin at home that we made a gumbo. Instead of using rice, we just used the boudin. And that actually adds a whole lot of extra flavor to gumbo.
Yeah, rice in it.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. So it was a cooking weekend at the Fitzmaurice house. We also have a restaurant report. We didn't talk about, we went to Brennan's on Friday night. So let's, after the break, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, I was going to suggest the same thing.
Yeah, we definitely have some stuff to talk about having gone to Brennan's on Friday night.
Indeed.
I was kind of expecting that when we left that the madness for the big football weekend would have started by Friday night. And then I expected to see the French Quarter just rocking. But I was, I didn't. There wasn't a lot of people there. And so I guess maybe it was the weather because the weather's not been good all weekend. But it was kind of quiet in the quarter when we were there on Friday night. I heard that it has not been the case for the last two nights, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't here to witness it. So if you've been having fun partying this weekend, love to hear about it. I hear that there are some great stories out there from the big whole weekend party. If you have one, please call us 260-6368. We were also talking about hummus, which is in the almanac today, and anything else that you would like to talk about. 260-6368 is the number. You can give us a call. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
And today is Peach Melba Day. That's a good one to track down. We'll talk about that later. Or maybe we'll talk about it right away. Who knows? It's the food show, and we talk about nothing but food, restaurants, cooking, wines, and other ideas. And we'd love to hear what you have on your list of places that you really love, or the ones that you've been to lately that were just great, or that haven't quite slid into position. Our telephone number is 260-6368, 260-6368. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and with us today, it's none other than Mary Ann.
Hi.
Hi. Are you having fun so far? I mean, you've been doing this all your life, so you may as well.
Yes, I do have fun. So let's talk about what we did after we left the show on Friday. Friday was a bizarre show. Great news, everyone. The podcasts are back. Thank you, Doug. And so we went after the show on Friday directly into the French Quarter, where we took our own advice and had the $5 Oysters Rockefeller at Antoine's.
Yeah, what a deal that was. And I can tell you, it's one of my favorite dishes, baked oysters in general. It's just something I love. But you can do it in a way that makes it come out less than perfect. And I think they were kind of around there.
Oh, really? They were not. Well, you know, I mean, they were doing mass production of them.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, and it's a little tough. But anyway, that was interesting that they would come forth and do something like that. And they certainly had a lot of people.
Well, they've
in
always
there.
Got something fun going on over there. They're definitely stepping up their game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think that after all these years, they would have it all put together. That's a joke.
Okay. So we went.
They've been around since 1940.
So we went to. We were going to Brennan's. We had a reservation at Brennan's for 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there at about 5:30. And it turns out that they don't start seating until 6. So we were right there. The car was parked, and we just decided to walk over and have some oysters at Antoine's.
Yeah.
All right, so after we did the Antoine's stop, then we went to Brennan's, and I know you have a lot to say about that.
Oh, yeah. Here's I was very surprised to see it. They have a new chef as of a couple of months, I think. I lost, but the guy who has been there since the renovation took place 4 or 5 years ago, he has moved on. Great
Slade
chef.
Rushing is now
Slade
in London.
Rushing. He's in London. Well, he deserves to do whatever he does because he's terrific.
Yeah.
We're going to meet him. But, you know, I'm going through the menu here at Brennan's, and there were 8 wait a minute, was it 8 entrees? Same story for just about everything up and down the menu. It was a lot less than I expected to see. In a you go to a restaurant like that, you expect a lot of choices to have.
Well, the old menu in the Ted Brennan era was a huge menu.
Oh, yeah. It went on and on and on.
Right.
They had a book of it that
right.
actually, well, they never had a problem like that. You can go overboard with it, and that's obviously what they did. But I was really surprised to see this at Brennan's, and it's probably just a get it started on the front end kind of thing that we'll get from them better when things kind of assume their proper.
I'll tell you what.
Something.
The first time that I ate at Brennan's in the new era when Slade took it over, I was really, I had just a giant question mark. I was wondering how this cutting edge chef could reinvent a menu that was so entrenched and so much more old-fashioned than what he was inclined to do. And I remember when I got the, what was the Jackson salad? That's what it was called.
Yeah,
I used
the
to
Jackson
love,
salad.
I used to always get the Jackson salad at Brennan's, which was a mix of lettuce. It had some hard-boiled egg on it. It had
blue
bacon.
Cheese.
What?
Blue cheese.
Bacon, blue cheese. It was kind of like a Cobb, only tossed.
Kind of like that.
So, as a matter of fact, it was probably modeled after the Cobb and just called the Jackson salad. But anyway.
Well, it's funny, though. Can I give you a couple of little backgrounds on this?
Sure.
Yeah. One of them is when I first started writing about food, as a matter of fact, this was when I had not yet begun eating in white tablecloth places. They had and they still do, in the UNO, their newspaper, and then they also have a restaurant place, a restaurant where you can go in and sit down, and it's white tablecloth and everything. And I was there once and going through it, and I kept being surprised by the amount of different ideas that they had in there. And this was a college place, kind of a test place. So my point in that is lost somewhere.
Okay. Well, so I had one of the things that struck me when we sat down for the first Slade rushing meal. There were two things that struck me. One was that they had switched bread to a house-made Parker House roll that came in a little cloud of about 8 of them, and they were divine. And like I said, I have a threshold for bread, and you know, if you clear it, I just can't stop eating. And that's what happened with this bread. It was really, really good. And I don't, generally speaking, like Parker House rolls, or maybe it's the processed ones that I don't like. But anyway, these were really great little rolls. They're also great at Cochon. They have Parker House rolls too, and they're spectacular. But the Jackson salad, when I ordered it,
yeah,
I was
that's what I was trying to get to you, and it just flew out the back of my brain.
Well, we're going to have to continue the whole conversation.
Well, let me just give you a little bit of it.
Got 20 seconds.
Jackson was named after a lady who used to come to Brennan's every day, every weekday, and she would do a radio show from the main dining room. And I'm trying to remember
Jill
her
Jackson.
First name. Jill Jackson, and she lived in L.A.
Okay.
Kind of like that.
All right. You're gonna have to hold the rest of the story, Tom. We have
oh,
news.
Oh yeah. Well, that was it. I was done.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Okay.
260-6368. If you'd like to join the conversation in about 5 minutes after the top of the hour news, you're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.